Before we go into the mitzvah tilchocha, which is very negel aloche, how far the chiyuv to give somebody musar is, just want to finish off the apik losa. We seem to have had three different koinim. And we really only clarified one of the this. One of them seemed to be self-explanatory. And then we had the most difficult shita, an apit losa, which we still left hanging. We had the shita of Tosfos. Tosfos' opinion was that apik losa is really not a heter at all. There's no heter called apik losa as far as because it was done publicly, it permits to any degree lashon hara. Lashon hara is always awesome. The only thing is, apik losa puts it into a category. If you're going ahead to say information in front of three people, we trust your judgment. Because pretty much, within the framework of Lashon Hara, we have this thing called Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara is very complex because Avak Lashon Hara doesn't only include negative information or information that clearly the other person would be makpid on. That's Avak Lashon Hara. In other words, if I tell you something in confidence and you know for sure I don't want that being told to others, even if there's nothing negative, it's also Lashon Hara. Not the rice. It's a vak lashon hara. Because I don't want that information going. So that is a very that's at least clear. It's clear. It's a breach of confidentiality. That's a clear thing. But then there's the whole range of avak lashon hara of things that Chazal say you can't give somebody a compliment if that could bring an insult. Something which could be translated in two different ways. You can't. So all those areas are the areas where Chazal tell us for kulam b'avak lashon hara. Chazal tells everybody's nichshel in avak lashon hara. What they really mean, Chazal mean, they don't mean saying breach of confidentiality. That avada, people want to be confidential. They know if somebody tells me something confidentially, then I don't tell it to somebody else. There are a lot of people who respect that. But not to say something that maybe somebody will take negatively, that's something everybody's nichshel. So what's the say, protect? So Chazal therefore said you can't say it. So what they're really telling me is it's rare. Chazal are telling me you can't say something which is mutter because we don't trust you that you'll say it properly. We don't trust your own judgment that you'll say it properly. So Tosfos learns that's the whole mile of apik losa. Apik losa makes people more careful. And therefore Chazal were able to remove the safety bar of those type of discussions which could turn into some form of possible lashon hara. Listen, if you're doing it in front of three people, we know you're going to say it in a positive way. So then we trust your judgment. So Tosfos really is poshut. It's poshut. It's easy. Tosfos sheet. But then we had two other sheetas in the Rishonim. It's many, many sheetas, but two main sheetas. One sheeta was the sheet of the Rashbam and Agoris Hashri that seemed to permit the lashon hara. L'chatchila. Once the Lashon Hara was said in front of three people, it's permitted l'chatchila. Which means you're allowed to now tell it to somebody else. Once you were in the presence of three people, you heard this Lashon Hara, now you're allowed to tell it to whoever you'd like. L'chatchila. That's one mahalach. And then we had the Rambam, who was very confusing because the Rambam seemed to learn like that shita. The Rambam says that once it was said in front of three people, then already less pay mishum lishna bisha. But the Rambam says that you shouldn't do it l'chatchil. He says it's only if it comes up in the course of conversation, you're not really being miskaven to befarsim it, then it's okay. So the Rambam is very difficult because l'chayra, none of shach. If somehow once something is mefursim, it's not lashon hara, so go be our guest. So say it. And if there's still a shemitz of lashon hara, be it avak lashon hara, be it whatever it is, so you shouldn't be allowed to do it. Why would it be that, interestingly enough, the Chofetz Chaim relies on this Rambam? Rare in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim that the Chofetz Chaim is mekel in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Usually the Chofetz Chaim's approach is when there's a machlekes rishonim, so you go completely lechumra. The Rambam, the Chofetz Chaim says you shouldn't lechatchila say the Lashon Hara. You know, with intent to say Lashon Hara, you shouldn't do that. But if it comes up in conversation like the Rambam and you weren't being mechaven to spread it, it's okay. And he says the only reason why I'm not being mekel like Rashi and the Rashbam is because after all you have the Rambam and Tosfos who say you can't do it lechatchila. So I have to go lechumra. But it's interesting, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't throw into his suffix Tosfos Shita, who holds that it's never permitted to say real Lashon Hara. It's only permitted to say something which could be translated in two ways, and we trust your judgment with three people. For some reason, Daddy stays. The Chofetz Chaim is not even chayish for that sheet. He says in the just made a copy for you in the Chofetz Chaim. I don't think it wasn't on the Maror Mekoyim. It's this piece. This is Klal Beis Yiv Gimel. Yeshayim v'imdim siper al chaveroi b'fnei shloisha. If you said Lashon Hara in front of three people, after who avar b'vadei alus Lashon Hara, even though the one who said it was over on Lashon Hara, afar pikenim echad me'ashloisha, if one of the three, shekvar shama davol zeh siper l'achenim, lo yavar alus Lashon Hara. Mitam dekivon dekimul yoydim mizeh, everybody knows it. And therefore, it's permitted. Something which is known, which will become known, that's the Chofetz Chaim. Then he says, only if you happen to be talking, and in discussion it comes up. And you don't have any intent that this should become more known than it already is. Even though by definition, every discussion is making something more known. That's why it's very, very difficult. Usually if I tell you a story, it's because I want to give you information. So this whole thing, you're treading very, very thin ice here because what are you doing? You're telling somebody a story that's negative, that you clearly want to tell this person. But you don't have in mind it should become more public than it already is. It's like a very strange situation. But he says that that's the case. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, where he brings down his sources for the halachas in the Sefer. He says, even though the Agos Hashrin Rashbam permit lechatchila to say Lashon Hara in this way, says the Chofetz Chaim, it's still a suffix to raise. So why the Chofetz Chaim doesn't also take into account Tosfos Shita, which doesn't even permit it in passing in a conversation, if it's real Lashon Hara, is a big chiddush. This is probably a isolated halacha in the Gans Sefer Shmiras Halashon, where the Chofetz Chaim goes to this extent, and he relies on, it's true, he has a lot of Rishonim, he has the Rambam, and he has the Rashbam, he has the Agos Hashri, he has the Shul, he has a lot of Rishonim. But he doesn't take into account Tosfos. I personally believe the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't himself do this, but he's just saying what he was careful when he wrote the Sefer that he shouldn't write something which is a Chumra Gedoy L'Moed, because then that would take the validity away from the whole Sefer. People say, oh, Chofetz Chaim is Tam Musa Sefer. So he wrote really something which he wanted it to be more like a Shulchan Aruch. So because of that, when he felt something was completely L'Hachmeh, he didn't put it in. Which they say that's a famous discussion that he had with one of the Gedolei Rabbonim in Europe when he printed a Sefer Chofetz Chaim. So the guy, this Rav, told the Chofetz Chaim, We can't talk anymore. You basically stop discussions. People can't talk now that they have your sefer. Chavetz Chaim was bewildered. He said, what do you mean? Now you can talk a talk. Till you had the halachas, you had to just keep quiet. You didn't know what you could say, what you can't say. He says, now I gave you a... Now people can start talking again. That was his opinion. So I think that's the pshat in this Chavetz Chaim. By Apit Losa, he felt that since there are so many Rishonim who permit it, and the Rambam is amongst them, so he felt to go and asur it even b'di'evet, he's not going to. But again, what I say with this halacha, the bigger chiddush to me, is that not only is the Chofetz Chaim relying on these Rishonim, but also it's a very difficult thing to implement. Because how do you implement it? How can a person regulate his discussion? Say, I'm only doing it for this purpose, I don't really want it to spread, I don't want to make this person look worse, I mean, so keep quiet. So what are you doing? Very, very strange. So I'm going to tell you a different pshat that we can say in the Rambam, where it would make it... First I'll tell you what I think the pshat in this shita is. Because the big problem we had with this shita was... How would being mater apiklosa if we know in fact that the three people really are not allowed to, they're not allowed to say it? We're basically saying we're surrendering. According to these Rishonim, it sounds like we're surrendering. Listen, once the Lashon Hara was said to three people, now these three people are going to yap weiter, they're going to talk, they're going to yenter, and now it's therefore going to get known anyway. So forget it, throw in the towel. It's done. The Lashon Hara is gone. It's over. It's too late. Why? You have three Erlecha people. They heard the Lashon Hara. They have a chiv in Ilchas Lashon Hara. This is one of the most challenging halachas in Lashon Hara. Not to be makabel. Very hard. It's very hard not to be makabel. They have a chiv to assume it's not true. So why in the world are they going to go spread it right? Why don't we say just the opposite? Don't spread it. It's clear that not only are you being engaged in Lashon Hara, but what you're actually doing is blowing up the Avera of the guy who told it to you. Because if I talk Lashon Hara to one person, so it's one Lashon Hara. If I talk Lashon Hara to 100 people, it's 100 Lashon Haras. And that was the whole mice I gave with the Ben Ish Chai, right? The guy came to me and said, I always say this when you get the Parashas Mitzvah, a guy came to the Ben Ish Chai in Baghdad. He said, I'm a Baal Lashon Hara, I want to do tshuva. Could the Rebbe tell me how to do tshuva? So he said, no problem, take a bag full of feathers, and I want you to go throughout the city of Baghdad and just throw it around, like this, all over. The guy spent a half a day, went every street in Baghdad throwing the feathers. He came back, Oiskishvitz, to the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, I did what you told me. So the Rebbe then said, the Ben Ish Chai said, okay, now go collect them. He said, it's not shaykh, go collect them. This I was able to do. I mean, I can't collect him. He says, no, that's what Lashon Hara is. He says, you already, you're Baal Lashon Hara, your Lashon Hara is all over the place. What do you mean, fix it? That's what he told the individual. So Lamaisa, why in the world are we giving, now basically what you're doing is your mom is killing the guy that said it, because what you're basically doing is saying, okay, this guy made a mistake, he said Lashon Hara. And he wasn't careful, he said in front of three people. That happens all the time. A chasna table has 10 people. That's a typical Lashon Hara. Got 10 people around the table. It's 10 down. So I'll be closer. That's it. Now whoever's on that table could go around, go on the microphone. Say, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share with you a Gishmak Gishtikol Shana I just heard. People by Chasnas get bored. This is something Gishmak. I tell you, this is waiting for the Chosn Kala to come in. That's another thing you could talk Loshana about, the Chosn Kala. And say, listen, it's Apit Loza. The Tapel de Kazakh. The whole thing, the Chapel de Kazakh. The whole heter is a Pel de Kazakh. So the only Hesber that I think, so I always felt like the only way to explain it, this shita, would be that the heter is not for these three people to continue to say it because we're saying that they're going to continue to say it. Because that's almost circular reasoning. You're sitting there with two other people, you heard a Lashon Hara, so now I could keep on saying it because for sure it's going to spread by me, so I won't say it and it won't spread. The pshat I think you could say is that this sheet in the Rishonim holds that once the original guy, Berach, once he said Lashon Hara in front of three people, so he's not being discreet about the Lashon Hara. Because the way to spread a rumor is to tell three people. That's the way it is in Bava Basra. Lagabi making a mechor. That's the normal, that's why the sukkah is in Bava Basra. Apik loson. Once you say something to three people, your assumption, you the one who's talking, your assumption is that that's going to become public knowledge. Public knowledge. Try it in any neighborhood. Try, tell something to three people, it's finished. Right? Everybody knows. Memela the pshat is that once you told it to the three people, Beryl is on a, he's on a runaway train. He's going to go to another three people. He's going to go to another. So the pshat is the reason why the three people can say it is because it's already, the originator is going to keep on going. He has decided that this information that he has is going to be broadcasted. And he did it already. It's, for instance, if you have the speed of sound. So a guy said Lashon Hara on a microphone. And it takes 10 miles to reach all the areas. So a guy who heard it already, he can tell it to somebody else because he knows that that Lashon Hara that the guy said is going to already go there anyway. So it's really not because, the heter is not because you're going to keep on spreading it. The heter is because the originator, the fact that he knows that telling it to three people is putting it into a Rosh Hashanah, and he did it anyway, shows that he is not discreet about the Lashon Hara. Once he is not discreet, so now even without me, this Lashon Hara is going to spread. And Memela, I'm allowed to say it. That would be the interpretation, because after all, some Rishonim learn that it's talking about Rechilus, where Reuven goes and says something about Shimon to three people, and now those three people can go to Shimon and tell Shimon what Reuven said about him. And the reason why they say that is because Reuven, when he said it to the three people, knew that it's going to get back to Shimon. So he said it in a way that it should get back to Shimon. So now they're allowed to go and tell Shimon, because that's what he basically did. So that's the only way that I could explain, logically, b'svara this shita. It's not a heter on the three people because of them, it's a heter on the three people because of the mesaper. That's the only way I could make sense of it. However, I do want to tell you that I have a different way to learn the Rambam. Very similar to Tosfos. Very similar to Tosfos. That is, that the Rambam would also agree that Lashon Hara that's told to three people is still Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to say it past three people. The three people are not allowed to say it, right? And just as I explained, there are two types of Avak Lashon Hara. There's Avak Lashon Hara where you receive confidential information. Where you are aware of confidential information that could potentially be harmful to the one who it's about, you're not allowed to say it. Even though it's not bad. It's not negative information, but it's confidential information. That's also usher to do. Okay? Tosfos learns that our sugya is talking about a case where you're saying something which can be translated in two ways, positive or negative, or parva negative. And if you say it to three people, you'll be careful that it shouldn't be like that. The Rambam argues with Tosfos, no question. But the Chofetz Chaim and most of the Achroinim learn that the Rambam is really giving a heter that is, even on Lashon Hara Mamish, if it was said in front of three people. Because now it's Mefursim and everybody's going to know about it. So I want to tell you a different pshat in the Rambam. Let's look at the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam, when he starts off, he talks about saying mamish bad things. Hamaragel b'chaveiroi. But then, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, says the Rambam, v'hamesaper devorim. You have to be medayik in the Lashon of the Rambam. V'hamesaper devorim, somebody who says things, shegurmim, that they will cause im nishmu ish mi piish, if they will become public, lahazik chaveroi begufoi oi bimamoinoi. They could be mazik your friend. Even though the Rambam now is not talking about negative information, he's talking about confidential information. Where if this confidential information becomes public, right, it could hurt him. It could be something that's mamish, nothing negative. I'll give you a marshal. A guy's a retailer. Okay? And he sells merchandise. Okay? And you know where he buys it from. You know the wholesaler. And you know that the wholesaler, Grada, would sell to a retail customer too. So you get up and you put on a mafarsim in the community. You should know that although the retailer is selling it for $5 a pound, you can pick it up for $2 a pound. And this is the address. And this wholesaler sells to retail customers in the back of the place. You can do it. There's nothing negative about that. You didn't say anything bad about the retailer. He's not doing anything wrong. He's in business. He's buying and selling. That's his business. That is avak lashon hara. And the Rambam says that that information is included in the issa of lashon hara. You're not allowed to say it. Im nishmu ish mi pi ish, it could be gorim lahazik chaveri begufoye b'mamoynoi. Va'afilu lohatzoloi, says the Rambam. Even if this information won't cause him damage, but it will hurt him. La'afchidoi. You're not allowed to do it. Now, in the this was said, Bifnei Shloisha, Kfar Nishma, Dovor, V'noida, that's the Lashon HaRambam. You believe that the Rambam is not being Mater Lashon Hara Gomer in front of three people. He's only being Mater information, which it becoming public could be damaging. So it's only confidential information. In the confidential information, once something has already become public, which means it was said in front of three people, or it's in the newspaper, then you're allowed to go and say it. According to the way I'm learning, it's very clear when the Rambam says, but you shouldn't try to make it public. So we asked, what do you mean? So why are you telling it to this guy? That makes sense. I'm giving you information which is not negative. I'm just talking to you. We're having a discussion. I'm giving you information. I'm not trying to ruin this guy's business. I'm just giving you information. See, if the Rambam would be talking about negative, bad, so what does that mean? I don't have a mind to say bad about him. I'm saying it, so keep quiet. You don't mistakenly say about yourself, I'm an idiot and a Russia. In passing, well, I didn't realize I said it. Right? So what are you saying about him? But the way I'm learning, it's not fair. Because this information, if you isolate it, is not negative. It's just something that ultimately, by everybody knowing in town, it could create a problem for him. So there, it's very possible that I'm having a discussion with somebody. I happen to be talking about it, but I don't in any way want to hurt this person. I don't have kavanah to hurt the person. So the Rambam says that since it's going to turn public anyway, so it's not basically it's not confidential anymore. It's not confidential information. And that's, I think, the most mistavodik way to learn the Rambam. The other Rishonim who permitted it completely, here I didn't have such a problem because as we explained, some Rishonim hold that if you say Lashon Hara in front of the person, it's not Lashon Hara. Because once the person can defend himself, like we brought down from the Sefer HaChinuch by the Lav HaVayinah, it's not Lashon Hara. So that's how we're coming out of Halacha L'maaseh. I would therefore say, I would be machmer beyond the Chofetz Chaim. I would say that if it's mamish negative information about another Jew, even if it was said publicly, you should not repeat it. If it was besides Tosfos, you definitely can't. But the way I'm learning, even according to the Rambam, you can't. So if you read something in a newspaper, and it's mamish negative, not that it could be and it's this, and it's poshut negative. Yene yid is so if the yid is already a rosha, that's a different thing. And they may be hetter to talk Lashon Hara about him because he's a Rosh. But if it's just a negative statement, a negative story about another Jew, even though it already hit the newspapers, and everybody knows, or everybody will know about it, you still shouldn't say it. That's the way I would come out Lamais. Again, if the guy's a Rosh or something else, then you have a hetter because of who the person is, not because of the Ape Klosa. The Rambam says what it is. He says, "Dvorim shegormim shem nishmu ish mi piyish lahazik es chaveri begufei b'mamayna." There are certain parts of everybody's life that are beneficial to them. It should remain confidential, whether it's business information, whether it's personal information. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why people need some privacy. You know, what? It's not bad. Bad means the guy was, that guy I saw, he ate nevela. That guy I saw, he doesn't daven. That guy, that's negative information. That you're not allowed to say. Yeah. Technically not. If the person's a kosher Jew, and there were no edus, again, if there was edus and there was test, there's a process of where Lashon Hara can be verified, that it's halachically accurate. But if it's just a, you know, obviously, if there was witnesses and it was done before Hessian, it's known, so it's known. Makabel means I'm using my own judgment to accept the Lashon Hara. But information that's already been verified, so I'm not using my judgment. It turned factual. Then there's no dinim. There's no, it's not shaykh kabbalah lashon hara. It's not the shaykh to the isra kabbalah lashon hara. It's a fact. You say a person was arrested. You're not supposed to say a person was arrested. That's lashon hara. But for you to, if the fact is that the person was arrested and there's court documents and he's sitting there in prison or in camp, like they like to call it, so he's there. That's not a shaykh of kabbalah. It's public knowledge. Kabbalah Lashon Hara means I tell you something secretly about somebody that's not factual, necessarily. So you can't accept it as factual. Okay. The Rambam is very clear. The Rambam is saying that there are certain things that are confidential and are supposed to remain confidential. And if you share the information if you share the information normally with other people, you're over the issa of avak lashon hara, because, or even lashon hara gomer, because sometimes it's lashon hara just because it will definitely be masik somebody. So you're not allowed to do that. But if it's already public knowledge, and inherently it's not negative, the only thing about it, it's not negative. You sell plastic. I tell somebody you buy plastic from Chaim Yankel, and Chaim Yankel actually would sell me the plastic for cheaper. That's not. Why is that negative? There's nothing bad about you. You're a businessman, right? You're a businessman. So you... What's mazik? I'm not being mazik you. I want to help another Jew. So what? Am I not allowed one? That's not my shaila. There's two retail stores opened in town. Yeah? Yeah? There's Wesley Plaza and Wesley Exquisite. And I tell somebody, you know what? Wesley Plaza is much cheaper than Wesley Exquisite. There's no reason to do that. Both Eden. Both have a chiyuv to patronize their stores. I tell my neighbor, you know what? Why spend? Women do this all the time. There's no reason. Some women, that's what they do all day. They drive from one store. They burn 20 gallons of gasoline to buy fish over here for a dollar less and this for 10 cents less over here. That's the umnis. So what? That's a kosher. And I always tell people it's a kosher activity for a woman to do. Guy has time to send his wife, she's not saving, so she's not saving money. It's kosher activity. What do you want her to do? She's Baruch Hashem, it's kosher Zach. So there's nothing wrong with a person saying there are two firm businesses. You should know you could get a better deal over there. Nothing wrong with that. However, if you have a retail business of a Yid, he's in the retail business, and I start giving something which is confidential, unknown business, who is suppliers, and I said that supplier you'll be able to swindle to get the wholesale price by going directly, that's called being mazik as chavera. He says it. The Rambam, right before he gives the heter of apit losa, he says, that's the lashon of the Rambam. That's why I'm saying, I believe that the apit losa is only going on that. The Rambam's lashon is that you're saying things that as they become known, Shegomim shemnishmu ish mi piyish, laazik es chaveri begufa ebimamoina. So that's it. So basically, Toysus learns apit losa is mutter because it's not going to be said in a negative way. And the Rambam apit losa is mutter is because you're not breaching anymore the person's confidentiality. Because it's already not confidential. And that's all. But if you're going to go and say, I geshmak eshtikl negative information about another Yid, so I want to say the Rambam wouldn't be mad with that. At all. And then it flows with the whole Rambam. Because the Rambam says you have to have in mind only saying it in passing as conversation. Not, if you're talking about negative information, it's a manashach. Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, the Chavetz Chaim obviously held that he had enough Rishonim to be Soymech on in this part. Chavetz Chaim didn't learn the Rambam. If the Chavetz Chaim would learn the Rambam the way we're learning the Rambam, he wouldn't be Matirat. Correct. Okay. Now we're going to do Techocha, which really is very appropriate for this time period of the year, Bechlal. Besides that, it's our sugya here in Erechim. Techocha is one of the very complex areas of halacha. First of all, what is the shir of techocha? So our Gemara seems to give us guidelines, which most people do not adhere to either one of those guidelines. Most people, first of all, we live in a society, bechlal, the secular society, where you live and let live. Stam. Who cares what he's doing? You could go in the street, see somebody doing the most crazy thing. They had that maisa a couple of months ago. Somebody beat somebody to death. And they had it all on camera. And it wasn't something that happened in 5 minutes. Slowly, slowly, beating somebody to death. And people are sitting there, going by. It was a pachat pachodim. They had everything on camera. It was a pachat pachodim to watch the lack of care for human life. Stop. I mean, people walking around shopping. Sometimes somebody's busy, you know, I'm busy giving a shiur, I didn't realize. People are walking around shopping and draying and discussing. There's somebody there being beaten to death. Chaim al Shalom. Or the mother's al Shalom, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. It's nish to goyim. So that society definitely rubs off on us, which is the American society. Well, let everybody do what they want. Whoever wants, you do what you want. You live and let live, and it's constitutional. Just that. You're not a good American if you mix into somebody's business. But the Torah HaKadosh has a very different approach. And the Torah HaKadosh is mechayev us not to live and let live. Actually, let live as a different guideline of how you let somebody live. You let them live by not letting them die. And if you see somebody doing something, engaged in something which is either physically damaging or spiritually, you have a chiyuv to do something about it. And that's what our Gemara discusses. And this chiyuv techocha is very serious, because as our Gemara, as the sugya here states, and as brought down in many sugyas hashas, that if somebody doesn't give techocha, he's blamed for the avera, as though he did it. And according to some man, the Amrim in the Chazal, the whole churban beis hamikdash was because of that. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was because of lack of techocha, because people didn't give each other musa. And it's a difficult thing. It's very difficult. And it's difficult to give musa. First of all, it's difficult to give musa because very often people that you should be giving musa to, you don't. Because you're good friends, you don't like to give musa to them. He's a good friend. You like to have a positive relationship. And the guy who you don't get along with, you love to give him musa. Right? But he's not interested in hearing what you have to say. And because he's not interested in what you're having to say, all it really does is it grows animosity. And then whatever lack of friendship exists, you know, keeps on growing. And hatred and sinner, and there's no benefit to it. The only benefit is that you feel better afterwards. You gave the guy, you found something to give him musar about. You gave him musar. Unfortunately, that's the roiv palm, and that's how musar is given. That's when it's given, and that's why it's so ineffective. Musar is really a very effective thing. I always tell people that, I tell this to my Talmidim, that generally speaking, friends are the most effective way to give musar. Much more than rabbanim. Friends are the best source for personal growth. It's much better to have a friend to give you musar, because a Rav gives you Musa, a Rebbe gives you Musa, you right away look at it like the person's a little bit of a fanatic. That's one thing. The more barriers that you could put between you and the person giving you Musa, the better it is. The worse it is, but it's more geschmack for you. The person's fanatic, they don't really know you, they don't understand. The more the person's on your wavelength, it's much harder to dismiss what they're telling you. The guy knows you. He knows where you are, he knows where you are. It's one of the best things we have is techocha, the biggest present Hashem gave us in the Torah. And we don't use it.
Because we don't give musa to people. We tell somebody you're angry at them, that's also not musa. That means, again, you're just letting out frustration. You tell a guy, you know, you did me an avla. It could be it's musa, but I mean, you're not saying it as musa. You're saying it as, I'm upset at you, you got me angry. Right? That's not productive. The most productive musa is sit down with a guy who you know is close with you, and you tell him, you know, I think you got to shape up in this area. It has an unbelievable effect. But Chazal say that the Beis Hamidrash is charev because we didn't exercise that teichacha. And the Gemara here gives us very strange guidelines for teichacha. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, how far do you give teichacha? So the Gemara says, very interesting shir. The Gemara says, how far does it go? Gemara says, one opinion says, Ad sheyakenu. You give musar until the guy hits you. Okay, I don't think anybody does that. But they're a klal. Okay, so you're telling me that the guy is, and this man Omer brings a riot to this. This Rav Omer ad akor. And Shmuel says, Ad klola. Till he curses you. And then in within the shear of klala, it doesn't mean necessarily he has to curse you. There's another opinion here, it's ad nazifa. Okay, which is not all that much less than klala. But it means that the person clearly communicates to you, either physically or verbally, that he's upset at you and he wants you to get out of his life. So either he got to the level of hitting you, or he got to the level of cursing you, or he yelled at you, but he's saying, get out of here. And it could sometimes depend on who you're talking to. If you're talking to somebody who's a little more violent by nature, he'll hit you. If you're not somebody who's a little less violent, he'll curse you. There are different levels of a person basically making it clear that get out of here. That's what it is. Now, some achroinim understand the Gemara very literally. That means that this Gemara has to be taken to its literal sense. So that means you must give musar until one of these three things occur. Either he hits you, or you see that he's not mamash hitting you, but you see that he's yelling at you, or cursing you. Like I said, nobody does that. We have to know, are they right for not doing it? Are they not right for not doing it? And what is the correct approach? The Rambam seems to pass in like the most extreme version. Because the Rambam says, how far does Teichacha go? The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, we brought this down in the Ma'ar Mekoymes here. The Rambam says that and then he says, you have to keep on giving musa till the guy hits you. The Rambam says, anybody who doesn't do it, who nitfas ba'avoin elu kulam she'ef shaloi limchoiz b'ahem. Okay, so that's the Rambam. So the Rambam shita seems to be that musar, you have to keep on giving musar till you get hit. I don't think there's anybody here in the room that could say they ever were makayim that. Right? That you gave musar until you got hit. If there is, but I would imagine that it's not something that generally people have experienced in their lifetime. That level. And that's the Rambam. The Rambam in these halachas is like a Shulchan Aruch. We don't have another Shulchan Aruch to go to. The Rambam is telling us this is how far Teichacha goes. Achi Akenu. And Birka Yosef, Aruch takes the Rambam very literal, and he applies the meaning to the Rambam. Why the Rambam goes so far? Very interesting.
so machmer that you got to give musar until you get hit. Why did he go to such an extreme? And gives a more normal shear. Once the guy is menazif you, so you see he doesn't want to hear from you. Why enough that he communicated, I don't want to hear from you anymore? Why isn't that enough? Says. The Torah tells us give musar. So how are you supposed to look? Is the Torah saying, listen, you give teichocha, you give the musar, that's your job. Whether he'll listen or not, it's not your business. You have a mitzvah, you see somebody did something wrong, musar. That's all. It's like shaking lulav. Sukkos, Yom HaRishon, you have to shake lulav. If you see somebody doing aveira, you have to give him musar. That's it. Now, if you hold darshin in time of the krah, if you hold that normally when we have a mitzvah, we go and look what's the reason. So then over here, well, one second. The whole reason to give musar is you'll help the guy. The guy's not helping you anyway. You're not helping him anyway. He's yelling at you. He's cursing you. He's this. So what are you doing? So just keep quiet. Says the Chidah that those who hold darshin in time of the krah, they say ad nazifa. Once the guy communicates to you that he doesn't want to hear from you, that's it. You don't got to do any more. Says the Chidah, the other opinion who says ad akor, says, you got to keep on going. You got a mitzvah. You got to eat matzah, you got to shake lulav, and you got to give musa. This is it. You put on tefillin today, you got to give musa today. So you give musa. If the guy hits you, we learn out of a posuk in Tanakh, that you don't have to receive lashes for it. You can keep quiet at that point. But otherwise, you got to keep on going. He said, I saw someone tan in Yevamos. The sech is Yevamos. For a mashkin. And the Gemara says that if you hold Tashin and time with the Krah, then it's only if she's poor. Right, but if you have a chveis, the ashivas sheba ashivas, right, or for orpas, yeah. So you could take her beket even if she's an almana, because l'chayr she can afford another beket. So then, if you hold ashin in time of the koyin echanami, or it says that if you hold ashin in time of the koy, you can't take orpas begodim either for a mashkin. We paskin aloch alamai said that you can't take a beggar almona even if she's wealthy. Right? So if you can't take it, it's with a fey. I know, I'm sorry. But lamai said, the bottom line is that we paskin that even if the woman is an ashira, you're not allowed to take a beggar. Pasuk Am came. And I'm that way too. Which Chidor and the approach is that you don't look at the reason, you just give musar, you keep on giving musar. Ad kedei hakol. So I have two problems with this approach. My first problem is that I see in the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't hold this way. I'd ask the Olim to look up the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and I'll just read you a couple of lines. The Rambam is not like the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs generally doesn't give us reasons. He tells us the mitzvah. If the Rambam would give us the reasons, it would be a much bigger sefer. The Rambam just brings down the mitzvahs. When he brings down the mitzvah of Teichacha, let me just read you a couple of lines. He says, Hu shetzivonu, we're commanded, lo yichiach achoite, to give musar to the one who sins, vilimnoya oisoi mimenu, and to stop it from him, to stop the sinning from him,
B'maymar v'teichocha. That's the mitzvah of teichocha. So the Rambam, for some reason, decided not only to, not only does he say this is the reason for the mitzvah, he says this is the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah. The mitzvah of teichocha is to stop somebody from sinning. L'mashal. Let's say somebody did a very big aver, but I know that he already did tshuva. He doesn't do it anymore. I have no mitzvah to tell him you did the aver. The mitzvah of teichocha is not to let him know I know that he did an aver. The mitzvah of teichocha is to help him. That's how the Rambam is teaching. So I want to suggest that not only does the Rambam hold that this is time of the mitzvah, this is the heftza of the mitzvah. It's not the time of the mitzvah. The Pirkei Yosef understands that this is totally in the machloikis if you hold darshin in time of the krah, loy darshin in time of the krah. But I'm telling you differently. This has nothing to do with darshin in time of the krah. This is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is lachzir elamutav. The mitzvah is that you should make an effort to bring him back. Whatever area he has a problem, you have a mitzvah to bring him back. That's the mitzvah. And if what you're doing is not, so you're not even engaged in teichocha. You're letting out your frustrations. You're giving therapy to yourself that you're telling him something. You're not doing teichocha. Teichocha means lachzir elamutav. That's how I would teach this Rambam. Not I would teach, that's what he says. I was mishtoimim that the Chidor says that the Rambam holds that it's nothing to do with the guy listening or not, when the Tzadar Rambam teaches the mitzvah. Now you may say, okay, Sefer HaMitzvahs, we can't necessarily bring a raya from the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's not really a Sefer HaLochet. In Perek Vov, Halacha Zion, he says clearly, black and white, Horoya Chaveroi Shechoto. If you see your friend did an avera, shehoilech b'derech loy toiva, he's going in an improper way. Mitzvah, listen to the Lashon HaRambam, lachziroi lemutov. Not only does the Rambam say that that's the reason, he says that is the essence of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is lachziroi lemutov. Ikur mitzvah is not telling him anything. I have a mitzvah to bring him back. Toichocha is a tool. Toichocha is a tool that's used to bring him back. Not a mitzvah to give Musa. That's the mitzvah. It's like we had a Yerushalmi in Peah. It's Yerushalmi in Kiddushin, first Peah. The Yerushalmi brings down that Rabbi Shmuel's mother, she complained to the Chachamim that my son Machabed me. Chaman said, what, Rabbi Shmuel is not Machabed his mother? She said, yes. She says, when he comes back from yeshiva, from learning, I ask him that I want to bathe his feet in the water, I want to wash his feet in the water, and then I want to drink the water that has the dirt of his feet, and he doesn't allow me to. Can you imagine that? That was Rabbi Shmuel's mother. And Chaman told him he's wrong. She said, if your mother wants, zehu kvoida. What does that mean? The kvoida shel adam, tani zehu kvoida. If that's what she wants, that's the kibud. Okay? Kibud is not necessarily to give her to eat. If that's what she wants, and that's the reason why today, kibud avayim flipped 100 degrees. Not 90 degrees, completely. Because really, medina de gemore, a kid is not supposed to come home, a teenager, and tell the mother what's for supper. That is a completely anti-halacha approach. What every child does when they come home for supper. What's for supper? And then they comment whether they want it or they don't want it. It's good, it's not good. It's really the other way around. According to Shulchan Aruch, I'm not talking about Musa. According to Shulchan Aruch, the mother is supposed to come home and ask the child, what's for supper? It's not. I'm not dreaming, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, what's kibud? Machiloi, mashkeu, that's a parent's, that's not the parent's job, that's a child's job to do for a parent. But the whole world today doesn't do that. And what's the pshat? The pshat is ritzoni shel adam zehu kvoidei. The mother doesn't want that, the mother wants that the child should take her cooking. And male, it's not a problem of kibud avayim. That's this Yerushalm. The Rambam is saying that teichocha, the mitzvah is not to tell the guy you know something bad about him.
Mechatesi should be such a mitzvah. That's almost Lashon Hara. That's like Lashon Hara. Telling the guy something bad about himself. There's no mitzvah to convey to the guy, you know he's a bad guy. The Rambam says, mitzvah l'achziroi l'mutav. Uloi chichoi b'dvarim. And use this tool. That's Hazei Shtei Rambam. And that's, if you think about it, it's the most logical approach. And it's clearly the approach that the Rambam took. Ad kidei hakor, it's because he holds whether the guy listens to you or not has nothing to do with it, because that would be in direct contradiction with what the Rambam himself says. So I don't think it's plausible to say that that's the pshat in the Rambam. Pay him. The Gemara says in Yevamos, right? The Gemara says clearly that you shouldn't say something kishem shemit. Tamachem at base. To say something that will be. Well, if it's not going to. Not only is it a mitzvah to keep quiet, you have to keep quiet. When he says, "Al toicheich let spend yisnoeko," do it. You're just bringing hatred to the world. Don't do it. Or clearly, is a stira. What ad kedei hakor seems to be, and the Rishonim already talk about this. The Ritva and the Mukhi Yosef. Some want to say it's a difference if you're giving musa to a rabbin, or you're giving musa to a yochid. Very simple. I think this is the pshat. I want to tell you that I hold even the Yoreim holds this way. Musar is only to be given where it will be effective. Because the mitzvah of Musar is to bring another Jew back. There's no mitzvah to talk just to give Musar. No such mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bring the person back. The machlokes in our Gemara is how far do you go before you can determine that your words will absolutely not be effective. How far do you go? That's the whole reason why the Gemara has a discussion. When the Gemara said, how far does Techocha go, the Gemara means, when can you decide that your words are not effective? The one who says Hakor is also that reason. He says, you know what, once the guy hits you, he's not going to accept it anymore. He's not going to accept it. You don't have to worry, well, maybe I should still tell it to him again after he hit me, and maybe he will. No, at that point you can, well, like Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe has in his tshuvas, knowing he won't make a bracha, and then he goes through the whole lineage of Musar, of giving Musar to such a person. And he goes through whether you have to give musa if you lose money, because you may, if you work out with your partner this way, you may just break up the partnership. He has a lengthy tshuva. Rav Moshe comes out la'alocha, you're not mechuyev to lose money. This is in the last chelik of the tshuvas of Rav Moshe and Aruch Chaim, Siman Yud Gimel. He says, "Eini mechuyev la'hafzit parnos abuzeh." So the way Rav Moshe learns, the Gemara is just saying, how far do you go? Whether the shear is, how far do you have to go that you can already determine he won't listen to you? Or how far do you have to go, be moisa nefesh, because maybe he'll listen to you. If you actually look at the Avnei Nezer that we brought down here, you'll see that the Avnei Nezer in his discussion mentions this possibility. He says, v'chein nistaver, v'oi, da'av shebor loy shelo yishma loy. Even if you're sure he won't listen to you, mikomokam yesh bechira. There is bechira. He may change his mind. The efshar sheyis yashev. Maybe even though he's not listening to you now, okay, he's cursing you now, but he will go home, and he will then say, "One second, this guy had a point." Now he's defensive, which happens a lot of times. You go to somebody, you give him musar. He says, "I didn't do anything wrong." That's because to you he doesn't want to admit. But he can go home and he can say, you know what? Maybe I did do something Maybe the guy's right. I'm not going to admit it to him, but to myself, maybe I did something wrong. The Yishma Lekechocha says the Avnei Nezer, V'al Kein Shein Tochocha Olav. So it comes out that according to the way we're learning, according to all the opinions, if you knew for sure that you're being ineffective, there's no mitzvah for you to do it. And therefore, I'll give you a mush. If you see somebody did something wrong, and you know that there's another person that would be more effective, there's no mitzvah bo yaseh mi bishlucha, because the mitzvah is not to do the act. The mitzvah is to bring him back. The mitzvah of techocha is to change the person. And therefore, it should only be used in that way, where you're going to take him back. That's why I was shocked. I saw tshuva written in a sefer called Vayivorech David. He talks about the shaila, if you have a chiyuv to do a mitzvah of techocha, if you know it's going to bring fights. And he goes through a lengthy tshuva, whether you have to go and get yourself involved in fights to give musa. And to me, the whole thing is ridiculous. It's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is lachzir lemutav. The mitzvah is to bring the guy back. And techocha is the tool, how you bring the guy back. And therefore, I would come out and say that your obligation is, once you observe somebody has a problem, you have an obligation either yourself or through others to be in an effective way to bring that person back. And hakor is only a Rambam would agree, not to mention why. In the time of the Rambam, hakor was more common than today. Hakor was a standard of rebuke. People rebuke by hitting. That was a normal thing. The Rambam says one should not hit unless extremely big discipline problem. It's a Rambam. That means in the Tkufa of the Rambam, hitting a wife was not unheard of. If a woman came to Bezdin, today, if a woman came to Bezdin, my husband hit me, the Bezdin would force him to be Megarish's wife. Rightfully so. The husband will come and say a Rambam, but they'll tell him, listen, we're living in a different door. Today, this is not the way you a wife, the whole relationship is different. The companionship, it's a different type of relationship. Today, if the wife hits the husband, they say, sure, okay, there's a Rambam that talks about you're allowed to hit. Not the other way around. I was involved in a get like that where, you know, and this is what I own him. And the wife was complaining. The husband said, she beats me. So the best, okay, she beats him. I mean, she's a woman, but she gets excited, she beat him. In the tkuf of the Rambam, this was normal. So therefore, it was normal to go to somebody, give musa in a million years. You went to a guy, give musa, he gave him a hit, he'll call the police on you. What are you doing? You're being narish. So Elamai, you're saying, well, I have a mitzvah, achilas matzah, shekishon, zivon, a mitzvah, stichoch. That's not achilas matzah. The mitzvah is to bring him back. So if you're not bringing him back, you're actually making him further, you're being able to evil, see the mitzvah. So your job is to be an effective bringing him back. Usually, it's better to go to somebody else who you think will be more effective than yourself. And that way, you're not being mevatel to the rabbi. You're doing the mitzvah better do it yourself. It's like I say very often about, there are certain mitzvahs, we don't say, boy, mitzvah, boy, yoysimi b'shlucha. Right? There's an Indian, you should build a sukkah yourself, right? But if you know that you have a chazokah, that every time you build a sukkah yourself, it falls down. Right? There are people like that. So then it's a sukkah she'enehu yilashiv. It's a possible sukkah. You have to do, a guy goes and makes matzah. This I say every year. If you go to matzah, so there's different levels of being involved in the afiyas matzah. I like to go also to watch the matzah being baked. But lemaise, to bake the matzah, it's better to have somebody that's good at it. So instead, I'm all you have, a chabura comes in, and they're very religious. I have no objection to the chabura. They're merchantic people. You're a shamayim. They learn Torah l'shma, but they're not bakers. Until they get the dough to move, it's already, it's the rice, but it's not great. These Russian ladies, in this chabur is going holding in their first batch. These Russian ladies are already holding they already made the five batches. So which matzah do I want to buy? The batch that was fakfetched You know, that it's a greasy batch, but it's chometz. Or a Russian batch that's nish chometz dik. So you have to, you know, you have to be, you have to, so I'm saying when it comes to techocho, you have to do techocho in an effective way. And if you're not doing it effective way, you're not doing the mitzvah of techocho. And usually you only have one or two shots at it. So if you do the wrong way, you mess up. So the best thing is to get somebody else involved. I'm just saying, don't look at this like targeted, you got to go there and bomb the guy. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to bomb the guy. The mitzvah is lachzik lelemutiv. And I would say even the most extreme version, the Yireim, who says even if the guy hits you, that's just shiurim in knowing for sure that you've exhausted your resources to help the guy. To start next week, we go back to Erechin. Next week we're starting the fourth perek of Hesed Yad. We'll try to believe it to post up early in the week the Ma'amakim is here.